put me into Isaiah chapter 1, and then he began to speak to me about some things about our country, about what's going on, and it can relate to us personally, right? Come on. It can relate to us personally. You know, I think that it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on, and we just don't concentrate on how good God is and how sweet He is and all of that. Glory to God. Before we get into the Word, I just want to tell you, last night I was chatting online to Uganda, right? Is that cool? That I could be sitting in my house in Olala and talking to a brother that's in Uganda. Now, the person that I was talking to, his name is Noel. And Noel was part of Bishop Frank's church. He was his right-hand man. In fact, I spent some time on the radio twice in Uganda, and we had an hour session where we just preaching back and forth, and it was just amazing. But it was with Pastor Noel, but God had moved him on, and he was starting a work in another part of Kampala. The big city is huge, right? It's huge, and it's got lots of districts. And so he was in a different district doing that. And this is how he starts his church. He goes out and evangelizes. Now, when I say evangelize, I can remember pictures or videos of him. He's got a speaker up on top of his car and a microphone out in the circle, the traffic circle, preaching to people. But every day he goes out preaching. And in Uganda, I don't know if you know this, but for the past several months, you know, with this COVID thing and the lock, they have a different mindset, right? They say, well, we're locked down. You know, survive if you can. But it's a great opportunity for the churches to give out food and give substance to people that have none. And he's been able to do that. But he wrote me, he said, yeah, I was out my prayer walk, evangelism walk today. Said, got 10 people saved, 3 of them were Muslims. I mean, come on. You know, he's just working for Jesus. Well, you know, like I said, he was using that car, and it was an older Mazda, I think, but somebody stole it. Glory to God. So he's believing God for a new car, you know. Hallelujah. So, you know, and of course he was saying, I need, you know, this is how much I need and everything. And so praying about what we need to do about that. I think we should get him a new car. You know, I just think we can get him a new car. So like $1,500 is what he needs left. And, you know, I think we can figure out how to get him a new car. Glory to God. And then this afternoon at the office, I was talking with another brother that we support in Poland. And he's starting a Bible school, a Rhema Bible Training Center in Poland. And just amazing how God has, you know, put them there, and they didn't know anybody. How's this going to happen? What's this going to... But he's putting them in touch with key people and networking, and it's really, 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 really amazing how God is working all over the world. And the main emphasis is to get the Word out, right? Get the Bible out. Get people believing the Bible. Glory to God. This is not just another book, amen? This is not it is a how-to book, but it's not a book full of suggestions. Let me say that one more time. This is not a book full of suggestions. You know, God doesn't say, well, you know, if you want to, go ahead. Or if you don't want to, that's okay. Right? He says, no, this is the way it works, guys. Do it this way. And if we follow that, we're much better off. I've found that if I do it His way, life is a lot better. Right? But I don't get to pick and choose which part of the words that I want. Right? If I'm going to be in line with Him, I've got to choose them all. And so we're going to talk about this in Isaiah chapter 1. Everybody doing all right? In Isaiah chapter 1, we're going to talk about how the God came to this prophet, but the condition of Israel, because I find it very interesting that it correlates to the position of the United States right now, currently. And so that's what really sparked me. And see if you can catch what I'm trying to put down here. Verse 1 says, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah." Now listen to this. "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." I like that. Come on. He said, "Listen, heavens, listen up, earth. God's talking." Right? God's talking. If He's talking, are we listening? Let me ask that a different way. If God is really talking, are you listening? Am I listening? Right? Because I figured this out. I don't know if you have or not, but God's right. Yeah. If there's a debate, you know, me and God were arguing, God's right. Now let me just tell you this other story before we get into this. I was listening to this today, and I don't know if any of you will know who Heidi Baker is, but she's a woman who God sent to an African country. I think is it Zimbabwe? It's somewhere over there. But she's started orphanages for kids that were, you know, discarded, or you know the wars that rage on there, and they just leave kids all over the place. Well, just tremendous ministry that goes on. Well, she, during COVID, couldn't travel, and she's, you know, getting some requests to come back to the United States, and she was talking to the Lord about it and said, "Lord, you know, I'm getting a little bit older, and I don't really need to travel, and maybe you get some younger people to do that. Lord, I think it would be good if you got some younger people to do that." And the Holy Spirit spoke up and said, "Who are you? Listen to this. Who are you to give orders or suggestions? If I'm telling you to travel, you'll travel. Or you'll be in disobedience to me." Right? And sometimes we get, it's like we negotiate with God. And I think sometimes God is saying, "No, excuse me." I remember some employers I'd had before, they say, "You know, if I want your opinion, I'll ask for it." And some had some other way of saying it that I'm not going to say it. But listen, he says, "Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they rebelled against me." Now he's talking to Judah. He's talking to where the presence of God is dwelling. He's talking to the specialized people, the ones who are called out, the one he called by name, the one he called his own. He said, "Man, I've raised up a bunch of kids, and they're rebelling against me." And when I read that, it just went off inside of me. This is America. God raised up America, and for the most part, for you know, almost 300 years now, but it's, you know, well over 200 years, people put God in the proper place. In God we trust, right? And God is sovereign over our land, and we're a, you know, a nation, one nation under God, and those kind of things. And we honored God because we saw the sovereignty of God provincially putting America where it is for the purpose of, if you go back and read the original documents, for the purpose of propelling the gospel throughout the world. Right? But now there's even institution like Harvard. Do you know that Harvard was originally set up for the education of preachers, so that the preachers would ensure that young people were educated to the gospel? And today, now I don't know if you know this, Harvard today, their chaplain is an atheist. That's because they're really smart. They're really smart at Harvard, right? The Bible calls them educated idiots, but really, really, but that's where we've come. God established us, we recognized it, we walked in it, and He actually lifted us up. And then we were built. And I see in America that we're in a nation of rebellion. And then you get that down to individuals. It's like, Lord, is that me? Because I don't want to be in rebellion. I want to be in compliance to you, Lord. Come on, now look at verse 3. It says, the ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. In other words, what he's saying is even a donkey knows where his master is. Even an ox knows who owns him. And yet my people have no clue. Hello? You know, it used to be, in my lifetime, if you went to somebody and you started out with what the Bible says, there would be at least reverence or respect, because it's, in front of your book it says the Holy Bible or the Holy Book, and people would at least, but today, they look at you like you're, fell out of a well, that you don't know what you're talking about, in such a degree that there was, I'm not sure of the station, but it was one of the major news outlets, but one of their commentators said, if you believe in the Bible, then you're ignorant. Right? But you see where we've come to as a nation. And we can't let the influence of the world dictate our viewpoint. We have to have a kingdom mindset and not a world mindset. Right? We have to acknowledge that God is Lord and that Jesus is Lord. Look at verse 4. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. Now, I would like to say, yep, that's just all the people that are outside the four walls of the church. Now, I'm not speaking to any of you in here because you're here on Wednesday night. You wouldn't be here on Wednesday night if you, but watch that. Sometimes our hearts can get to where we have a better idea than what God has. And if we go down that road, in other words, if we're not disciplining ourselves to what the Word says and living our lives by what the Word says, then we can get to the place where, we're just forgetting it conveniently for a minute. But if we do that long enough, we'll get to the place where we forsake it. Right? I don't want to forsake it. I don't want to get to heaven one day, right? And for Him to say, who are you? I never knew you. Speaking of that, I just found out today that this was a great man of God. His name is John Cook. He's an associate pastor of By His Word Christian Center in Tacoma. But for years and years and years, he was just the pastor's right-hand man. I mean, he was there faithfully, but man, he was a man of God. He was just a man of God. And I know that tonight he's just rejoicing in heaven, right? I mean, it's so good. And we have that, but while we're living on this earth, we got to say, Lord, I don't want to ever forsake you. Right? Lord, if there's any way that I'm forsaking you, help me. Well, let me just, you don't mind if I tell stories while I'm preaching to you, but I was listening to Pastor Young Gi Cho. You all know who that is? He's a Korean pastor who pastors the largest church, at least at one point was the largest church in the world. He has 750,000 members. Let me say that again. 750,000 members. So he's got obviously a lot of pastors and people under him, and he's got satellite churches all over the world. All over the world. But watch this. He said, if I have a pastor come in, I teach them and train them and tell them they have to pray for at least 3 hours a day. And he said, I pray, and he was talking about prayer, he was talking, I pray what I call a tabernacle prayer. In other words, I'm meeting with God, I'm praying with God. And then he went through the different aspects of his prayer. And one of the things he does in his prayer time is he goes over and he meditates on the Ten Commandments. And Lord, am I violating this in any way? Is there anything, is there any innuendo or anything that I'm doing that violates this? Because I don't. So what I'm saying is like he does a heart checkup on a consistent basis to make sure that he's not in rebellion to what God has said. Right? And someone said, well, how do you pray for an hour? Well, how do you pray for 3 hours? How do you, well, you work up to it, first of all, but you have a plan, right? You have a plan. You know, you can worship God for an hour really easily if you have the right plan, right? So anyway, we need to get to the place where we're saying, God, if I've forsaken you in any way, let me know. Now look at verse 4 again. It says, have they provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel? Have they turned away backwards? I don't know about you, but I don't want God mad at me. I don't want Him mad at this country. I don't want Him mad at, you know, but then I think, how could He not be? How could He not be angry with the sin that we allow and that we call okay and the people that we honor? And I'm not talking about political designation right now. I'm not talking about Democrats or Republicans. But all you have to do is watch, and they're all liars. And they're all dishonest. And they're all backbiting. And they're all full of hate. And they're all full of, and I'm Republican, Democrat. It doesn't matter at this point that it's like, come on, it can't be like that. This is an act, it's a charade. And we're not honoring each other, and we're definitely not honoring God in what we're doing as a nation. How could God not be upset with that or mad at that? Now, I know that God's mercy, and He has been merciful to the United States. Right? He sure has. But as His people, you know, forget about them for a minute, and let's just talk about us and say, Oh God, I want to be at the place where I know that I haven't angered you. I know that I haven't forsaken you, and better yet, that you will not forsake me. Verse 5 says, why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed up or bound up or soothed with ointment. In other words, come on. Does this sound like some things that might be going on in our world, in our life, in our neighborhoods, in our... Right? But now I don't want you to be depressed, because there is an answer. Right? There is an answer, and He wants to come, and He wants to redeem, and He wants to show Himself strong, if we'll be a people who begin to seek Him for who He is and not what He can give us. Right? God didn't save us necessarily to make sure that we were happy. Right? But that's sometimes how we preach it. You know, come on. Just come on and you'll be fine, everything will be great, and you know, bless the God. No, sometimes it's like, I don't care if you're a little bit uncomfortable. We need to straighten this out. You need to do it. Look at this. 7. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence. And it's desolate, it's overthrown by strangers. So the daughter Zion is left as a booth in the vineyard, as a hut in the garden of cucumbers, a besieged city. Now, if we look at spiritually over some of the cities in our country, it looks like this. I mean, it's not exactly this verbiage, but have you driven through Portland? Right? Have you driven in Seattle? Do you know what's going on in Chicago? Do you know what's happening in New York? It's awful. Awful. And so what we want to do now is we want to have programs to take care of people who are being disruptive when reality should be, listen, you're violating the laws of God, and we need to set up a standard so that that's not allowed. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching pretty good. Watch. Because it comes back to us. It's like it's us. What can I do? Well, first thing you can do is pray. The second thing you can do is repent. The third thing you can do is ask God what your part is to play. Right? Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. It says, unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom and we would have been made like Gomorrah. What's he saying? Unless God would have had his hand on a few people, you'd have been wiped off the face of the earth to never be seen again. To only be heard of as they were once there, but they ain't there anymore. They're gone. They're not any Gomorrahites living on the face of the earth anywhere. None. But I believe God's got a remnant. Come on. I want to be part of that remnant, God. Listen, we can't have holiness if we're compromising what He said. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Now he's twisting this. Now he's going, all right, you people in the land. And he's calling them out. He's saying, listen, yeah, it's Jerusalem and it's Judea, but I'm calling it for what it is. You're the ruler of Sodom. You're living like the people of rebellion back then. You're living that now. So today we could call out to the leaders of the United States. And again, I'm not talking politically or our counties or whatever. We say, listen, you leaders of Sodom, because you've denied the Lord God. You've gone away from the Lord God. You've spit in the face of the Lord God. So you're leading us to places. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. In other words, here's the word. You should heed it. But even more than that, you better heed it. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of ram and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. Now, how would that apply to us today? Like this. I'm tired of your worship services. I'm tired of your concerts. I'm tired of your attempts to get together and pretend like you're following me. I'm tired of, now watch, I'm not saying anything against them necessarily, but I'm tired of the mega churches or the home Bible studies who are putting on an air but not acting according to the Word. So I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. What do we want to hear? You know, you've been in services where, you know, it's very emotional. Everything's blaring. It's great. The presence of God you think is in the room. And there's an excitement and people are going, woo, glory to God, dancing, jumping. And yet, if they're in rebellion to the Word of God, God says, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of it. United States, I'm tired of you offering me this sacrifice that means nothing because your heart is far from me. You don't really want to know what I say. You just want me to do what you want me to do. Glory to God. Look, when you come and to appear before me, who has required this from your hand? To trample my courts. Bring no futile sacrifices. Incense are abomination to me. The new moons and the Sabbaths and the callings of assembly, I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hates. Come on, can you hear that in even what we call churchianity? It's kind of like, now listen, I'm a faith guy, I'm a grace guy, I believe God loves us, I believe that He's for us, I believe His mercy is over us. But the minute that we start saying, well, you know, yeah, I know I shouldn't be doing that, but God understands, His mercy is good, my anger is okay, and it's like, no, that's rebellion to Him. And so don't come to Him with your worship when you know your heart is in rebellion. Get the rebellion worked out and then go worship. Woo, glory to God. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Verse 15, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Before we pray, we should check our hearts. Before we go asking God for something, we should ask God if we're giving Him everything that He requires. You know, sometimes we tell people, all you need to do is say this prayer and you'll be saved. I get it, because the Bible says all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But really what you're saying, when you say Jesus is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead, you're saying that my life is now hidden in the crucifixion. In other words, I'm not living for me anymore. Jesus is now my Lord. He's my master. I no longer have rights. I no longer have an opinion that's against His opinion, because my opinion doesn't matter. It's what He says goes. Right? Jesus is my Lord. And you think, well, yeah, I mean, Jesus is my Lord. Well, when is the last time that He spoke to you or spoke to me or spoke to us collectively and said, listen, I want you to give this up and follow me? When's the last time He said, now listen, I want you to, you know, give up that favorite thing that you like to do. I want you to put that aside and give it to me. Come on. I want you to give up that TV show for a while and just pray in tongues during that hour. I want you to, you know, whatever it is, when's the last time He said, listen, not your opinion, not your way. Yeah, but I got the right to be mad. Who said? I've got the right to be right. Who said? Right? It's like the Holy Spirit spoke to Heidi Baker, who are you to tell me what you're going to do? No, Lord. Wash your hands, verse 16. Make yourself clean. Put away evil doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. James said it this way. You know what pure religion is? It's taking care of the widows and the orphans. Right? Sometimes that's not convenient. Sometimes it is, well, Lord, I would rather do this. I'd rather do that. And he says, no. Nope. Okay, come on. And I like this. I like this next verbiage. In verse 18, he says this. He says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. In other words, let's talk. Share with me your thoughts. I mean, how futile is that? I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to express your heart to Him and to be open with Him. He does. And He knows exactly where you're going. He knows exactly what you're doing. But at the end of the day, He's not going to say, hey, you know, I've got this problem. What's your opinion? He's not coming. Come on, let's talk about this. Because I don't know what to do. Right? So this is kind of, to me, it's kind of satire. So, come on, let's reason together. And show me what you got, big boy. Right? Show me what you got. You know. I had this fellow that worked for me years ago, and he was just brand new to the... He was an apprentice, and he was working underneath, and some of the mechanics would come back to me. I was a supervisor, and they'd come back to me and said, man, this guy won't do anything that we're saying. He's telling us what to do. He's telling us why what we're doing is wrong, and we just can't work with him. So finally, eventually I had to get rid of him. But I finally said to him, I said, listen, you don't have an opinion. You need to do what they're telling you to do because they've been doing it for a long time. I'm not saying that you might not have an idea later that we're all for that, but you can't be telling these folks. You've got to be listening and doing what they're saying. Now, if I could say that about a mechanic in the shipyard, how much more the God of heaven? Lord, I don't want to come reason with you. I just want to hear what you got to say. Right? Come on. What's your opinion? But listen what he says. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet. You know what that means, right? It's red. You're guilty. There's blood on your hands. There's blood in your heart. And I'm not talking about the blood of Jesus right now. Sin stained and rebellion and all of those things are in your heart and they're against you. But they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient. Two big words. Did you know that you can be willing and not obedient? And you can be obedient without being willing? Right? I'll do it, but I don't like it. Right? God, I guess you want me to do that, but I don't want to do it. Well, then you don't qualify for the good of the land. A preacher, the Lord had him go out on the field ministry, so he's out doing it. And about a year, he was broke. You know, his family wasn't being fed right and all of that. And he went to praying to the Lord. Lord, you told me. I know exactly when you told me. You told me to go out on the field. I've been on the field. I've been going from church to church, anywhere that they'll have me. I've been going for, my car's wore out, my clothes are wore out, everything's wore out. Lord, I'm not eating the good of the land. And he says, well, you got one part of it right. You were willing, or you were obedient, but you aren't willing. You've been resenting it. You've been bad-mouthing. You've been telling everybody how bad it is. And you know, why did I have to do this? I had so much better in the last place. You know, and you weren't willing. He said, this preacher was preaching. He said, don't tell me it takes a long time to get willing. I got willing in 3 seconds. I said, Lord, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I'm willing, God. I'm willing. I've been obedient, but I've just turned the page. I'm willing right now. I've decided, God, that I want to do what you want me to do. Right? I desire to do what you want me to do. Your will for me is more important to me than my will. I am not only obedient, Lord, but I am willing. Right? Again, he said, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now look at that. Even in our country, Lord has a plan for us. And if we're willing and obedient, we'll continue to be blessed. But the minute that we don't, you know, it's often not, you know, happens this minute, and the next minute we see the result of it. Oftentimes this works out for, we've been disobedient and rebellion for a long time, and then later down the road we have the result of it. Sometimes if it was an immediate cause and effect, we go, ooh, I see it. But that's not always how it works out. Right? But if we'll keep planning the willingness and obedience, we will see the fruit of the land, but if we don't, then it's not going to be right. Some of us, we don't receive the promises of God because we don't act in accordance with what He said. Right? Lord, I need peace. I want peace. Lord, you promised peace. Peace, peace, peace. I need 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 peace. I'm really worried about my peace. Right? And then we talk to him about what he hasn't done for us, and see, we're not in obedience, because he said to be anxious for nothing. He said to take every thought captive. Right? Can we do that? Yes. Yes. Listen to verse 21. Y'all with me? How the faithful city has become a harlot. Again, think about this now. Think about this now. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murders. Your silver has become dross, and your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious, and the companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes, everyone, and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor the cause of the widow come before them. See, God really wants us to begin to examine our heart, and what's our motive for everything. What are the two greatest commandments? Right? Come on. So everybody knows that. But are we doing that? Are we doing that? Well, I'd love him if he was just nicer. But Lord, you understand he's a jerk. Lord, you know what he did to me. You know how that group of people acted toward me. So are we going to be rebellious, or are we going to be honoring God? Lord, you said to forgive them. You said to bless them. You said to pray for them. I don't want to. It doesn't matter what you want. Who are you? Are you listening to what I'm saying? And I'm talking about if we, as a church, and then as the church, and we can take back our nation by doing what He said the way He said to do it. Rather than trying to get our church to fit into what the world system is so that we can line up with them, so that we can prosper by their standards, it's time for us to come back to His standards, to do things His way, and let Him prosper us going forward. Glory to God. I will tell you this, and I don't believe that caring for people was ever supposed to be the government's job. It's supposed to be the church's job. But back in the day, the government said, we'll take care of that. The church said, good, we don't want to spend our money on that anymore. And look what's happened. When it was the church's job to not only give people help, but to disciple them. To help them get out of the cycle that's put them in the position. To show them who they are as men and women and boys and girls, and get them back to the place where they honor God and watch God show them the goodness of following and doing what He wants us to do. It really is. It's back to the church. Church, what are we going to do? And then forget that, because that's too generic. Lord, what am I going to do? How does this affect me? And what is my motive in that? Lord, judge me. I don't want to be like Sodom, and I don't want to be like Gomorrah. I want to be who You want me to be. Verse 24. We're going to close in a few minutes. Therefore, the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel. Think about that for just a minute. When we sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And I've got that wrong, but the point is, are we singing it to the Mighty One? Are we really singing it to the One that come on, He's supreme. Are we just playing the music to get to the next song, to get our feelings up to a place where we're either happy or we're sad, or, you know, whatever. We've been manipulated into something, or are we genuinely loving God? The Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel. This is what He says. I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. What's He saying? He's talking to His people. He's talking to those that are in Judah and those who are in Jerusalem. He's saying, look, I'm going to take care of this. And He did, right? They went into exile, but it doesn't say He threw them away. He just wanted the pure silver to come back. He wanted the pure gold to come back. Even when God puts it on us and He leads us and chastises, it's not because He wants to get rid of us. He wants to pull the dross out. Come on. Hallelujah. Then He goes on, and I'm believing this for America. I will restore your judges as the first, and your counselors as the beginning. After you shall be called the city of righteousness and the faithful city. Come on. Could it be that the Lord would restore America to its place as being the honorable one in the United States? In the world community. The one who has honor, the one, come on. When we give our word, we keep it. Right? We're out to help those countries that need our help. We're out because God has blessed us so much that we can give. Look at this. Now, today, tonight, the church, the country, Zion shall be redeemed with justice and repentance with righteousness. The destruction of the transgressors and the sinners shall be together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed, for they shall be ashamed, and their timber trees, which you have desired, and you shall be embarrassed because of the gardens which you have chosen. For you shall be as a timber whose leaf fades, as a garden who has no water. The strong shall be as tinder and work as a spark, but will both burn together, and no one shall quench them. In other words, God's going to have His way. God's going to have His way. I believe the church is going to rise up. I believe there's a remnant that wants the move of God. I believe there's a remnant that wants to see God move again. There's a remnant that wants to see repentance come to the land. There's repentance there's a remnant that wants to see revival happen here in America again. And Lord, we're just going to give you the honor and the praise and the glory and just declare that you are here to work in us, and we yield ourselves to you. Father, we have no opinion anymore because we want your opinion. And when we get your opinion, we're going to be willing and obedient to do what you want us to do. Come on. If you tell us to sell all and follow you, that's what we'll do. If you tell us, come on, whatever it is, Lord, we're going to do it. Even if in our flesh we don't like it, we're going to tell our flesh, you need to shut up and get in the back of the bus, because we're going to ride and do what God wants us to do. You want me to honor and love my wife as Christ loved the church? My flesh sometimes doesn't want to do it. But shut up, flesh, because I'm going to do what you want me to do. You want me to walk in love? I don't want to do that, but I'm going to do it because that's who you want me to be. I don't have an opinion, Lord. My opinion is subject to your opinion. My will is subject to your will. Jesus said, I don't want to do this, but Lord, not my will, but your will be done. God's looking for somebody who will pray like that, who will act like that, who will be like that, who will say, Lord, I want your will more than anything. Yes, I'll get up at 4 a.m. Yes, I'll stay up until 2 a.m. Whatever it is you want from me, Lord, I'm willing and I'm going to be obedient. Amen. Come on. Come on. I believe God's... How many think God... I mean, I know he's old and I know he's done it a lot of times before, but how many think that he's got one more in him? Right? Just, come on, one more move in him. How many think God could have just one more move, final move in the last days, that God could do something on the earth? Amen. Amen. I'm not only believing for that, I'm seeing that, and I'm asking God to cause it to happen here and happen now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We just love people. We're not against anybody, Lord, but we want your will in our lives. We want your will in America. We want your will in our homes. We want your will in our church. And God, we just yield to you tonight. And as your word has been spoken, Lord, if you're bringing something to our hearts, Lord, we bring it before you and we kneel before you. We humble ourselves before you and we say yes. Yes to your will and to your way, Lord. We just thank you, we praise you, and we honor you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The first step is giving Jesus your life. And just as you are, without any compulsion, just say, Lord, I need you. You know how I am, Lord, but if you can do something with me, I'm here. I yield myself to you. I give you my whole heart in Jesus' name. Father, come, be the Lord of my life. If you say that, you believe that, and you act on that, He'll do it. He'll do it. But get yourself into the Word of God. Begin to yield your spirit, your flesh to Him, and let Him rule you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us. God bless you.